If you could please, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Wanted to begin with a few thoughts. I have a personalized knock. You've heard of a personalized ringtone? You know, like if you're married to somebody who's into Star Wars, you might have your phone programmed in such a way that whenever they call you, it plays Star Wars. That's a personalized ringtone. I have a personalized knock. I don't use this with everybody, but I do use this with a circle of friends when I want them to know that's me at the door. Have you figured out what my knock is? So I don't do that, and I don't sound anything clever, or that's too complicated. This is my personalized knock. Kind of annoying, isn't it? You want me to stop? I can do this until noon, until I'm hungry, but you want me to, okay. What that personalized knock does, I found, and my wife doesn't seem to share my appreciation for this knock. Also, you can't use this on me. It's my knock. Don't try to come to my house using my knock. That won't work. I won't respond to that. But I found what that my personalized knock does when I go to my friend's house, not just anybody, but inner circle. Your picture is on my fridge, my picture is on your fridge, that kind of, sir. What it does, two things. It announces my presence at the door, and I do want to be known that I'm at the door. I don't want to just walk up to the door and, well, it's 1 o'clock, I hope somebody comes out someday. I want them to know I'm there. But it also motivates them to respond to my knock rather quickly. So they know it's me, and they know I'm at the door, and they can come, and we together have a good time. So why would I bring this up? Here we are in Luke chapter 11, and I found that some people and well-meaning Christians share with one another, read the Word of God together, and come away thinking, you know what? I need that kind of a knock when I ask God to work on my behalf. I need to pray and pray and pray and wear him down to the point where, okay, all right already, to get you to stop asking me about that, to get you to stop talking about that, I'll give you what you want. And we're going to find out today that's not the case at all. It's nowhere near that. God delights to hear from you, no matter the hour, no matter the need, no matter what it is that you have in your heart. God wants to talk, wants to hear from you, when you want to talk to him. So let's go to Luke chapter 11. And we finished our series today on the Lord's Prayer. So we've been taking, I think we took a couple of months to look at the Lord's Prayer. My primary goal during this teaching series was to not just help you understand the Lord's Prayer, but to build confidence in you when you pray. Again, not thinking in terms of, well, now you know the right words, now you can do it right. Not that. Wanting to build confidence in you in understanding that God Almighty, the majestic, powerful, transcendent God, not only can listen to your heart's cry, even if you mumble words, and or perhaps don't even can't even mumble words, blah, blah, blah. During those times when you are so desperate that you don't even know how to say it, God hears you. He knows, he understands, and he's eager to hear from you in those moments of prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, goes like this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. You may have noticed that's a summary of what we've read in Matthew chapter 6. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay, well, let's take a look at this in some detail. And it's interesting that this passage of Scripture teaches, I read it right here in verse 1, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, school us in prayer. Show us what it's, teach us how, give us the dynamics of prayer. They didn't go there. That's not what this is about. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. What they were doing is they're approaching Jesus Christ and they're in essence saying, Lord, teach us to do what you do. Teach us to be more like you. Teach us to pray as you pray. We've seen you pray. Lord Jesus, teach us to do some of what you have done. Well, let's turn back a few pages and let's look at what Jesus has done before them. Luke chapter 3, there are several occasions in the Gospel of Luke where specifically prayer is mentioned. So here this gives you an idea of what the disciples saw and what it was that motivated them to come to Jesus and basically say, we want to be able to do what you do. We want to see what you see. We want to hear what you see. We want to pray like you. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. So this is early in the ministry of Christ. It's actually his baptism. He was baptized by John the Baptist, verse 21. And we'll just pick it up right in the middle of the chapter here. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, got that? Jesus is praying. As he was praying, heaven was opened. And it's ripped open. It's just not like a few clouds move around. Heaven ripped open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Well, that'll get your attention. So Jesus was praying and this stuff happened. Heaven rips open, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, they hear this voice from heaven. Okay, now we're getting a little fictional, right? And we're just making stuff up. You know what? When Luke wrote his gospel, he knew this was going to be wide read. And he wrote names and dates and places. And you could take the contents of his gospel and verify it with people who had been there, even skeptics. Did this really happen in this city? And you could go talk to friends and relatives who had been there as eyewitnesses. So when Luke records this, he knows whether he's thinking this way or not. One of the things that will keep him accountable to good honesty and integrity in writing is knowing this is going to be community-wide. So that's one instance. Let's turn forward to Luke chapter 5. We'll catch another one. Luke chapter 5, and this catches us up. It's the time in the ministry of Christ. He's already called the 12 to be his apostles, to be his followers. Well, he's called some of them to follow him. And then he does this healing, which was a miraculous healing, but it was not like anything they had seen before. A man with leprosy who was assumed to be punished by God is healed completely of his leprosy. The crowds, the community hears of that, and they start flocking toward Jesus, wanting to get around him. Hey, could you do more of this? Could you heal me? Could you fix me? Can you be around us for a long period of time? Jesus responds to that popularity. We notice in verse 15 with this, chapter 5, verse 15. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And then watch this, instead of going with the crowds, Jesus does this, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One more, let's look at Luke chapter 9. Another connection with prayer. Luke chapter 9. This is what we call the transfiguration. So Jesus allows his three closest disciples, his three closest friends, to see him in heavenly glory. So this earthly veil is removed for just a very short period of time. They're able to see Jesus as if they were looking into heaven and see him with all his glory and his brilliance. That takes us to verse 28 of Luke chapter 9. About 8 days after Jesus said this, there's a teaching about him. 8 days later, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Get away and pray. As he was praying, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then we know from there that reading the rest of the chapter, this is the transfiguration where Jesus is allowed to be viewed in his heavenly glory. So the disciples are responding to what they saw in Jesus. And sometimes incredible things happen when Jesus prayed. Miraculous things happened that only belonged to him to verify who he was and what it is that he had come to do. But then there are also times when very quietly Jesus just simply got alone and prayed. And what they're looking at is, with regard to the life of Christ, they're looking at the power of prayer, but also the priority of prayer. How he, on a regular basis, considered it to be his priority to spend time away from people and time away from crowds and time away from activity to be alone with his heavenly Father and to pray. And seeing all of that, his disciples come to him and said, in essence, teach us to do what you do. Teach us to do that. Teach us to pray like you do. And then he gives basically a summary of the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so before we move on, let me ask you this. What are the chances that somebody would ask you as a Christian, a follower of Christ, what are the chances that somebody would ask you to teach them how to pray based on what they see in you? That's how it went with Jesus. That's where we want to be. That your prayer life would be of such priority and such dynamic that when somebody wanted to know how to pray and to learn to pray more deeply and more effectively, they would seek you out. Well, you may have heard this phrase from me recently. You want people to encounter the Christ who lives in you. And one of the ways you demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ in your life is through prayer and through being impacted and even changed through prayer. So when the request came to Jesus Christ, I don't see it as a request for information. Give us the to-do list and so that we can do it right. The request is for transformation. We want to be like you. We want to be different. They wanted to change the way they prayed. Now, what follows the Lord's Prayer is a parable and a teaching statement, and this is where sometimes the misunderstanding comes from. The parable is the friend at midnight who's out of bread, and there's a desperate need, and it really was a need. This is a sort of a honor-shame culture, and to have somebody who's journeying come to you for hospitality, and you've got nothing to help them with, that's a shameful thing. And so this motivates, this drives the person to come seeking yet another friend at midnight. Also understand the entire community was involved in this because hospitality was necessary to allow travelers to even get around. They couldn't carry enough food to keep it from spoiling, and so they would rely on hospitality when they traveled. So this was something that the entire community shared the burden. So it's reasonable that he comes to somebody else at midnight. Could you help me out? I got nothing. Please help me out. There's somebody at my door. And the way we read this, though, I think we come away like this. desperate times call for desperate measures. And so we have this burden, this need. It hurts. It's hard. It's heavy. Let's just go to God and bother him. And bother him so much that finally he'll just give in to eliminate the bother. So here's how. In fact, I'm going to read the parable again. And as I do, look for somebody knocking and knocking and knocking. Okay, I'm just going to read the parable again, and I want you to look for persistence or somebody who's annoying and bothering God. Look for my personalized knock, all right? Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. And then here's Jesus' commentary. So that's the end of the parable. Now Jesus is commenting on the parable in the story form. So verse 8, I tell you, Jesus says, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Okay, so this is not a picture of knocking, right? This is not a picture of bothering somebody. In fact, the man in the parable doesn't even knock. Doesn't knock once. That's not the point of the parable. It doesn't portray someone who comes and bothers and bothers and bothers and finally somebody else gives in. No one in the parable is pictured as knocking and knocking and knocking. Okay, so but then why? Why does the guy answer his friend at midnight? Why does he say, you know what, I'm going to give you what you need? Why? Why is there a response? Because someone dared to ask. That's why. Because someone took the time to ask. Because someone came to him and asked. That's all. We misread this, and I think it's because of the ask, seek, knock thing that follows it. But we just sort of read into it, and we assume that the person who asks at midnight got what he wanted because he asked at a bad time, and it was inconvenient, and it was annoying, and finally, just get out of my hair. Here's some bread. Go. Jesus actually wants us to understand it goes in the opposite direction of that. The point of the parable is that if people get up at midnight or middle of the night when it's inconvenient to help someone in need, how much more will your Heavenly Father who loves you respond to you when you pray, knowing that you can never inconvenience him? Did you really think that you could bother Almighty God? That you could wear him down? Did you really think that it would take X amount of praying and then he would relent and back down and give in and give to you what you need? Oh, it's not that at all. This parable actually goes in the opposite direction of that. Your God, who can never be inconvenienced and who loves you more than you will ever understand, wants to give to you so much. Really, sometimes all it takes is just asking. God is ready, willing, and able to help you. You can never inconvenience him. Now, there is a word that's helpful here. It's found in verse 8, if you're following along in the Gospel of Luke. And it's in this sentence, I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. So it's not even based on relationship. We know it's not because he's annoying. But now Jesus also tells us it's not even because of friendship. It's not like there's a special few that God will respond to. Well, you've done so well. You've served me so well. And we're friends. We're buddies. I'm going to give to you. No, Jesus even makes it clear. He will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Here's the key. Yet because of the man's boldness. How bold do you have to be to get something from God? How much courage do you have to get something from God? Enough courage to ask. Enough boldness just to come into his presence and to ask. even when it's at a late hour, even when it's awkward, even when it's not about spiritual things, even when it's hard, even when it's heavy, even when it's embarrassing. God delights, even when you don't think you have a shot, God delights to hear from you. Ask. And this much is clear. In the setting of the parable, if the man doesn't ask, he doesn't receive. It's not like the guy with the bread came searching for him. Hey, I just sort of had a hunch that maybe you need this. If the man doesn't ask, he doesn't receive. And the need will be unmet. In the setting of the parable, the surprise is not so much that the man who was sleeping and the doors were locked responded to the thing. The surprise in the parable is that the man with the need came knocking at midnight or came asking at midnight. That's the surprise. We misread this if we're thinking, well, gosh, I didn't see it coming. This guy actually responded to him. No, the surprise is that the man actually went and he asked. And it turns out in the parable form, well, that was okay. That was actually a good thing to do. Okay, so think about this. Think of it this way. How many people can you call at 2 in the morning? Or 3? Middle of the night. Probably there's a lot of people in your life. I mean, you're in a room with, I don't know, 250 people or something. I'm thinking if you had a funeral, there'd be a good collection of people who'd come. You got married, there probably was a good collection of people came to that. And just various events, parties and activities and milestones, there's just collections of people in your life. How many of those people in your network of relationships, somehow related, connected to you, how many of those could you confidently call at 2 in the morning knowing it's just not a bother? Suddenly that list, that shrinks down. And what Jesus is telling us here in parable form is God is number one on that list of people that you can talk to at an inconvenient, awkward hour. And he will always, always, always be delighted to hear from you. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything, because God cares so much about you, he cares about those things that you need, want, or have vision to attain. Here's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Now, I want you to say this out loud with me, please, just to make sure you're engaged. So this is scripture. If you feel comfortable reading out loud, please read this with me. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Book of James, chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. God has put it in his word to encourage us to come to him, not to somehow put some aspect of fear in our hearts. Well, maybe we could talk to him about that, maybe not. Not so sure. There's assurance in the word of God that he wants you to come to him. What he's done is he sent Jesus Christ to the cross to purchase a relationship within which you can pray, within which you can talk to him. What needs to be done to open the avenue of prayer has been opened. You need to approach your God, your Heavenly Father. And you can do that anytime, anywhere, and talk to him about anything. Okay, well, back to the parable for just a couple more things. The man with the need came to the friend at midnight because he had a need. Right? We got that. It was a need that motivated him to come to his friend. It was a need that drove him to come and talk to a guy at midnight. Could it be that God causes or allows needs to come into your life so that you might go looking for him? Could it even be that God causes or allows desperate needs, deep needs, to come into your life so that you might seek him deeply? It's one thing to seek out God because something is time urgent. It's another thing to seek out God because you're desperate for him. If that's your situation, be thankful for that need. There are people in this room who have gone through hard times and they would be willing to say, you know, I'm glad I lost that job. I'm thankful that this hard thing, I'm grateful that this was revealed, because it's then I got help. With God, through people, through His Word, I got fixed. I have hope. I can take this one step further and personalize it with some application. Your need is someone else's opportunity to pray for you and with you. And so often we keep that from to ourselves because we don't want other people to know that we are needy. Your need, I'll say it this way, your need is my opportunity to pray for you. And it is my privilege to pray for you. I've prayed through the directory a number of times. Pretty much if you're in the directory, I've prayed for you. But I also have a short list because I can't remember that many names that pops up in my Microsoft Outlook on a daily basis. Boom, there's five names. There's five people that I get to pray for today. Your need is my privilege to pray for you. Don't be bothered by your need. It could very well be a gift from God. Okay, well, let's follow this through. Immediately following the parable, the story is a teaching with still more encouragement to pray, and it reads like this. I'm reading with verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And it helps to just peek into the original language a little bit, and I know you don't see this in the English, but I'm just telling you, this is in the present tense in the original language, which means continuous action. So it doesn't imply ask one time and then just walk away and forget the deal. It means ask and continue to ask, seek and continue to seek, knock and continue to seek. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened to you. Okay, so now, am I getting back to the personalized knock thing? Is that what this is about? Where you just, it says ask and knock and seek? No, not that at all. But it's to be present with God, to keep company with Jesus on a daily basis so that prayer is a natural thing. Not limited to Sunday morning or a prayer meeting, but that you ask as a lifestyle. You seek God as a lifestyle. You knock for God's will as a lifestyle. Okay, let's just finish this up. Verse 13, love how this concludes. If you then, though you are evil, meaning we're sinners by birth and by choice, and we have limitations in our understanding, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and yes, we do know how to give good gifts, right? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God's greatest gift that He wants to give to you is Himself. Prayer is not about getting things from God, although maybe it's things that you need. But your deepest need is God Himself. And God so desires to give Himself to you. This week, I want you to give consideration to prayer. Consider this. Is there anything that holds you back? If you're a skeptic and you're wondering, is there a God who's real? Is there a God who's out there? What is all this stuff going on, people playing church on Sundays? You know what? That'd be a great way to approach God. God, I don't know if you exist. If you are real, could you show me that you exist? I prayed that. There's probably dozens of people in this room who have prayed something like that at some point in their life. If you are a follower of Christ and you've been following Jesus Christ for years, maybe just trying something new, something a bit different. I discovered years ago, and this is just sort of something fresh that I add to my life every once in a while. I look at Scripture and I pray Scripture back to God. So you've been reading through the Lord's Prayer. Why not pray, God, thank you for daily bread, for supplying for my need. But how about this? We pray, your will be done. Why not, God, here I am. Accomplish your will in my life. Build your kingdom through me. Help me to draw close to you so that other people can see kingdom reality in me. This week, maybe as a Christian person, when you read Scripture, instead of leaving it there and going on to something else, perhaps you could take the general content of what you read and ask God to work that out in your life. Praying Scripture back to God. this week, if your need is desperate, please understand this. God wants to hear from you. God is delighted to hear from you. All of you, hear this morning. God desires to give himself to you. Why would you walk away from that? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. This great privilege of prayer that we need to avail ourselves to was purchased by your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are forever grateful for that. Lord Jesus, as we try to keep company with you on a daily basis, we want to echo the sentiment that we read about from the disciples. Teach us to pray. Left to our own way and our own will, our own devices, we don't know how to do this. Lord, teach us to pray. God, we want to trust you more than we do. We want to surrender more of our lives than we presently do. We want to worry less than we do. We want to lust less than we do. We want to covet less than we do. We want to desire your holiness, your purity. We want to be like Jesus. And so we pray. As simple as beggars looking for food, please fill us this morning. And may what you give to us be enough to send us into the week. In the great name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Well, let's stay.